Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Hello, everyone. I'm Rita Halklane, your host for the next hour, where I'm hoping that we will all, at the end of that hour, know even more deeply that life with Jesus Christ makes a huge difference. And I would like to open with a prayer that is I've modified slightly, but it goes along with what we're going to talk about today. Okay, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord Jesus, help us to always place all our trust in you, no matter what the circumstances are in our lives, at every moment. Strengthen our faith, especially during those times when we face challenges and temptations. May we never doubt that you are there with us, leading us and keeping us close to your merciful heart. Jesus, we trust in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Also, I'd like to pray that the Lord would richly bless our time together today, that our hearts and minds will be open to his Spirit, and that we will cooperate with his Spirit. And like Scripture says, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Okay? I just want to share very briefly. On Saturday, I was at the Archdiocese Catholic Women's Conference up at Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown. And it was a sold-out event. They have space for 1,200 people, and they sold out all 1,200. And it's a dynamo event every year. I wouldn't miss it. I'd have to be really sick to miss it. It's one of the things I love the most about it is there are women there of all ages, all walks of life, all ethnicities, and it's a beautiful thing to see. You know, there's young mothers there with their babies. There's everybody in between, and older women, you know, in their 90s and stuff, and they're there, and everyone in between. And it's a very powerful event, obviously filled with the Holy Spirit. And each year it's a little different. They have different speakers each year. There's a little bit of a different program each year, but every year I have not been one year that it wasn't a tremendous blessing to me and my friends that I knew went. It's terrific. And it always happens in October. And they announce it sometimes late spring, but definitely by early summer. So if you haven't been, sign up next year and go. And take along a daughter or two or a niece or someone. My goddaughter, Laura, she lived in California, and she came to visit me, and she was not Catholic, and she just wanted to come hang out with me for a few days, and I said, sure, come on. And it just so happened that conference was going on when she was coming, and I asked her if she wanted to go with me, and she said yes. And she went, and I explained to her what was happening in the Mass and any questions she had and everything. And then I find out, like a few weeks later, that she had signed up for RCIA, which is the program that the Catholic Church puts together to share with people who either want to refresh their faith or want to come into the church, to join the church on what we believe, why we believe it, It's very comprehensive and really interesting because you can talk and discuss things and ask questions. I went through it myself a few years ago, but she admitted to me that that was the icing on the cake, that she had been actually coming to see me because she had in her heart was thinking that the Lord was calling her to become to join the Catholic Church. And when she came, and that conference was in session, when she came just by accident, it really touched her heart and pushed her over, and she did join the church. And it's really funny because in her RCIA class, there was a young man named Amir who was coming into the church at the same time. They met, fell in love, and now they're married. So you never know when where the Lord's taking you when he sends you on these adventures. So I love you, baby. Thank you for going with me on Saturday again. It's an annual thing for us, and it's really a blessing. I mean, it really was terrific. So, you know, go if you can. All right. In for today, to get a little deeper into our faith, I'd like to share two sets of Bible scriptures with you first. And one of them they actually used at the conference, but this isn't the whole chapter of these verses. It's just part of it that applies to what we're going to look at today. The first one is a Psalm of David. It's Psalms 139, and I'm going to proclaim it to you. Lord, you have probed me. You know me. You know when I sit and stand. You understand my thoughts from afar. You sift through my travels and my rest with all my ways. You are familiar. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it all. Behind and before you encircle me and rest your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, far too lofty for me to reach. Where can I go from your spirit? From your presence, where can I flee? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I lie down in Sheol, there you are. If I take the wings of dawn and dwell beyond the sea, even there your hand guides me. Your right hand holds me fast. You formed my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My very self you know. My bones are not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, fashioned in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me unformed. In your book are all written down. My days are shaped before one came to be. How precious to me are your designs, O God! How vast the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the sands. When I complete them, still you are with me. It's a beautiful psalm, and it's used a lot, and I'm sure most of you have heard it multiple times, but it really applies to the subject that I'm going to introduce you to today. But after reading that, I wanted to add this one. It's from the book of Romans in the New Testament, and it's from St. Paul, okay? And here it is. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No, no. In all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through Him, Jesus Christ, who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What you have to realize is that St. Paul, he went through a lot in his life, especially once he became a Christian, follower of Jesus Christ, and a preacher. He went through a lot. And if you're not familiar, go on the internet and search for the ways that St. Paul in the Bible suffered after he became a Christian. So when he writes something like this, he's trying to tell us that just because we're going through difficult times or we're worried about things going on in the world or whatever, it doesn't mean that we're not still connected with Jesus Christ and that that he has abandoned us or given up on us or anything remotely like that. Because he says there nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In another place he said, "Bless," and I'm going to modify it just a little bit to add part of a Jewish prayer to it. "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, our Father in heaven, for you have blessed us in Jesus Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens." Our generous, generous and loving and merciful God, our Father, has provided everything that we need to be close to Him and to live an abundant life in Him. So I just want you to remember, no matter what you're going through, that He has promised to be with you now and forever. And sometimes it feels like He's nowhere to be found. And that's part of what I want to talk about tonight. Or maybe He's asleep in the boat and not paying attention. But He proves to us in Scripture and in our own lives as we mature in our faith that He is absolutely there. And He's there in many ways. Sometimes it's a little, still, small voice that we hear when we're listening. Sometimes it's in a comment or a hug from a friend or a Bible verse we hear or a speaker at a conference. There's so many ways that He speaks to us. And so I just want to encourage you to be listening and watching. But I shared these scriptures with you because these particular scriptures, as well as others, have really encouraged me and gotten me through the storms of my life. And I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot. I had an alcoholic father. We had a very prosperous business, though. A lot of all of that fell apart, including our family. Our house was burned. And I was in the music business and the movie business and in finance. And I lived on all three coasts of the United States with all of the challenges of making those kind of moves. I was married. I'm on my second marriage. My first marriage ended in divorce. My ex-husband had a midlife crisis, not the kind you typically think of, but the where he had changed careers, and for the first time in his life he was failing, and he had never experienced failure. He didn't know how to handle it, and he really fell apart. A lot of things have happened in my life. I came here to be refreshed after all of those things that happened in my life a couple of years later. And then I went to work here. I loved it. I loved this place. I ended up staying here instead of staying 6 months and going back to California. I eventually met my current husband, love of my life, literally. Just so good for me. And I hope I'm as good for him as he is for me. But you go through these things, you know, deaths in the family. He and I had, in I think it was 2, maybe 3 year period, we had 8 people die in our families and friends and amongst friends in that very short period of time. It was like we were recovering from something every other month, you know. It was very difficult. And we've had challenges. We would be pregnant, then we'd lose the baby, you know, that kind of thing. But we've been richly blessed because we've had the Lord in our lives. Richly blessed. We are spiritual parents to many, many children and even adults. So I'm very grateful for everything the Lord has done for me. But there have been challenges and very, very deep sorrow and shocks, and both good and bad. So I wanted to share some things with you tonight. Having these scriptures in my Bible, but also I've memorized a lot of them because I found they were like medicine. You know how we'll take medicine for an ailment or for a cure when we're not feeling well or we're sick? Well, these scriptures are medicine to our souls, medicine to our emotions. They really are healing, healing. So I just want to encourage you. Because by sharing this, I'm generally a very joyful person. People, you know, will come up to me at Mass and say, "You always are smiling. You're such a happy person." Yeah, and it's true. It really is true. Most of the time in my heart, I am filled with joy. Not fake, you know, silly stuff, but deep down, deep down in there, there's joy in my heart. And I have to say, a lot of that comes from being Catholic and having the sacraments and the saints and the Word of God and everything. But throughout my whole life, the credit really goes to the Word of God. Really, really does. All of my life, even as a little girl, I can remember sitting out by the lake on our property and reading my Bible and marking it. I remember reading the book, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. If you haven't read it, even though it's not Catholic, you might want to read it. Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. I read that book, and I was preaching to my parents when they were arguing and stuff about, you know, the evil one and the difference that God makes. It was really kind of funny. Anyway, so I've always been marking verses in my scripture in the Bible. And I memorized a lot of it, okay, because it really spoke to my heart and it was encouraging, especially as a young person. You know all the challenges that young people go through. Order online or go to your local bookstore. Get a book called Bible Promises, God's Promises, you name it. Get it and give it to a teenager that you know, or middle schooler that you know. If they say, "I don't want that," don't worry about it. It's a seed that's been planted, and the Lord will use that. Okay? So anyway, one of my favorite verses, and I'll share other ones with you later, is from Romans 8:28. You have all heard this, I'm sure. And if you haven't, I'm glad to be telling it to you. But it's another verse from St. Paul. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Or maybe you can say, those who are chosen according to his purpose. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. I have to say, though, whether I've been happy or sad, I have revisited the Bible verses that have meant a lot to me. And I've found such strength and encouragement and happiness, joy, from them. So I really encourage you. You know, I really think that there is a famine in some Christian cultures, including in the Catholic Church, of a lack of taking time to read the Holy Scriptures and to ponder them. Even if you just read them, the seed is planted in your soul and it has effects. So anyway, you know, check it out on the internet or to your local bookstore, you know, Promises of God in Scripture, Encouraging Scriptures, whatever. But, you know, St. Jerome said, to be ignorant of Scripture is to be ignorant of Jesus Christ. If, you know, I hope that if you are a person with strong opinions about Christianity, the teachings and Scripture and the Church, and just life in general, that you have done your research. Because I have a funny feeling there's a lot of people, some of you maybe are listening, some who may be listening, that have formed your opinions without really knowing what God or Jesus says about it. And some of us are adamant that we are right, especially during this election phase here. So I just encourage you to be careful. Be careful. If you're a believer, please know what you believe. Please know what Jesus Christ has taught us in Scripture. Please know what the saints have revealed to us as to how to live it and how to be in relationship with him. You know, if we're not reading, you know, if we're ignorant of Scripture, we are ignorant of our faith. Ignorant of who Jesus Christ really was and still is. So please, check it out. All right. Buy a catechism. Don't read it from cover to cover unless you're that kind of person. But look up a subject and see what the Church and it also includes the Scriptures that back it up. All right. So you can find out what the teachings are that we believe as Catholic Christians and also where to find it in the Bible. And quotes from saints, et cetera, et cetera. So that'd be a good place to start. All right. I have to break in a few minutes. It's already almost been a half an hour, which is mind-boggling to me. But I just wanted to, I lead a women's Bible study. We just started our 24th year at my parish. And last week in that study, we viewed the season 3 finale episode of The Chosen. which is the world-famous TV series that has changed lives remarkably and is still ongoing. And we're going to be studying the scriptures that back it up, and also season four of The Chosen. This fall, we're going to be doing that. So in order to prep, we watched the season finale from season three. And it concludes with Jesus walking on the water to his disciples who are in a boat in a vicious storm. And trying to row to make headway, and they can't. And the story is, it concludes with his encounter with them, and his encounter with Peter and Simon Peter, and how Simon Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water to Jesus. And this story, and also the other storm story where Jesus is asleep in the boat and they thought they were going to die and they wake him up, those two stories are very important, because Jesus, by doing these things and teaching these things, he was not only teaching and growing them, he is teaching and growing us with those same stories. And there's valuable lessons in them on both sides, from him and to them and for them. So when life storms hit us, what is our response? So I want to share a few things with you about that, and things that have helped me, and things I have learned over the years. And so, if you can, please stick with me until I come back after the break, and we'll continue this conversation. God bless you. I'll be back in a little bit.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. I'm Rita Hauk-Lane. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, and or watching on Facebook, which is exciting to me. I wish I could see you like you can see me. But anyway, before the break, we were talking about the storms of life, and that came up because in the Bible study that I'm leading, we reviewed the Chosen Season 3 finale, which shows the story profoundly. of Jesus walking on the water and Simon Peter walking out to meet him. So I want to read that really quickly to you so that if you're not familiar with the story, as some of you may not be, I'm going to read it to you. So this is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. In other words, they were rowing against the wind. And if you know anything about the wind, you can see how difficult that would have been to be rowing against the wind instead of with the wind. Okay. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Simon Peter replied, "if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Crying out, he said, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Okay, I have three articles. I want to share some things because these were seasoned fishermen, used to storms and squalls. But this was terrifying for them, even though they had spent, the Lord had told them to cross the lake, and they obeyed him. This storm, you know, came up. And, you know, it doesn't say the exact time, but it does say, you know, they left after the feeding of the 5,000 and, you know, a little bit of prayer and stuff like that. They left. So they had been rowing until sometime, you know, after 3 a.m. So it was, I think it was the third watch of the night. I can't remember, but either way, it was sometime after 3 a.m. They had been rowing for hours and not getting anywhere. So it was a very traumatic thing for them. And then here comes who they think is a ghost, but it's Jesus walking on water. And, you know, here he is to save them. Okay, so I want to switch to the storms in our lives. This story and the storm story where they were in another horrible storm, and Jesus is asleep in the boat, and they can't believe he's sleeping through this storm because they're going to die, right? Well, obviously, he knew they weren't going to die, and the fact that he was with them should have let them know they weren't going to die, but they were petrified, these seasoned fishermen. So I want to switch now to our storms of life. Okay, and this one article, it's from Catholic Daily Reflections, and it's about these gospel stories. And it says, throughout our lives, we can be assured that at some point, we will encounter a storm. Not just a physical storm, but a spiritual storm. It may come in the form of a tragic event, a deep wound inflicted by another, the effects of our own sin, or some other painful experience. And for many people, this will happen more than once. When these storms happen, sometimes, most of the time, it seems like Jesus is nowhere near. Jesus is asleep and unaware and not readily available to help us. When these kind of storms come into our life, it's really, really important and usually very helpful to ponder these stories to encourage us and to give us hope. All right. It's interesting when the disciples, after the storm has been, storms have been calmed, and the disciples, you know, he's sitting and he's, you know, talking with them. There's two things that he mentions in both stories that I think are interesting. One was, why are you afraid? Why were you afraid? I mean, logic tells you why they were afraid. But he's trying to point out to them that with him, it's okay to be afraid, but not to panic. Because they were panicking. Fear can be a good thing if it prompts you to take action when you need to take action. To avoid things when you need to avoid them, et cetera, et cetera. But he's trying to teach them that the panic, like everything was out of control, was not necessary, actually. And the other thing was, that he pointed out, was their lack of faith. Oh, you of little faith. You know, those kind of things. He would say that many times, actually. And he's trying to point out there that, you know, your faith is not mature yet. You have more to learn. You might think that you really have faith in the good times and when I'm performing miracles in your life and blah, blah, blah. But when the times get tough, when the storms of life rage, do you really have faith in him? When we face storms in life, we really need to have faith. And this article says, what does that mean to have faith in the midst of storms? And it says, it means that we must know with a deep certitude that Jesus is in fact always with us. We must know with a deep certitude that if we place all our trust and hope in him, he will never abandon us. We must know with deep certitude that every storm will ultimately pass and that peace and calm will ensure. Storms come to believers and unbelievers, to believers who are obedient, to believers who are not obedient, to unbelievers. They come to everyone. You know, it's kind of funny. A lot of times we try to convince ourselves that, you know, if I'm obedient, if I'm faithful, if I go to church, if I pray, if I'm kind, if I'm generous, all those sort of things, nothing bad will ever happen to me. And that's not what Scripture says. The good thing is that when bad things happen to good people, as that book said, the Lord is there. Those events can lead us into a very deep and profound encounter with him. But I'm jumping ahead. The reason that storms can be so transforming is he wants us to trust him. Too often we turn our eyes to the storm itself and allow fear and anxiety to dominate our lives. See, that's that panic mode, that overwhelmed mode that he's trying to teach us to not, don't go there. It's like when we're grieving or we're suffering about something. It's normal to grieve. It's normal to cry. It's normal to respond with sadness and fear, even fear sometimes. But he's trying to tell us, don't wallow in it. Don't let it take over your life. Quit looking at that storm and look at me. In Scripture and in the Chosen series, many times when someone's going through a tough time, whether it's dealing with guilt or physical illness or pain or even death, he looks at them and he says, look at me. Look at me. He wants us to look at him in the midst of our pains, in the midst of the storms of life. If we look at him, and we remember his words, remember his actions, remember the deep love he has for us and all humanity, it can get us through. So every storm we encounter is an opportunity to trust him on a new and deeper level. If life were always easy and consoling, we would have very little reason to trust deeply. Therefore, every storm must be seen as an opportunity for tremendous grace as we place our trust in Jesus, despite how things immediately appear. In fact, many Bible scriptures and saints have taught that it is within the storms of life, going through the storms of life, where our faith grows the most. When we go through them with Jesus Christ, the power of God, of heaven, is at work in those situations. And our faith can grow so deeply if we are going through them with him. And I'll tell you a little two experiences that I had. My mother, I've told this before, and please bear with me if you've heard it. My mother had gone to the doctor for a stress test, and she had to have emergency open heart surgery. I mean, like, they put her, boom, right in and took her off to surgery. I had no time. She was in Florida where I grew up, and I had no time to get down there. And I was just, you know, beyond all consoling, because my mother and I were very, very close, and I knew she would want me to be there with her to help her with her fears, you know. And so our church, our parish, was having 40 hours adoration and a prayer ongoing for 40 hours. It was three night, and it's ongoing. Tonight's the first night of it at our parish, St. Pius X in Broomall. Come on over if you can and join us. But I knew the 40 hours are there, and something within me told me go to adoration. So I went and I sat in the back, and I was a young, brand new Catholic, basically, and adoration was so foreign to me. But I went, and I prayed very hard for my mother in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And all of that stress, over a very short period of time, absolutely disappeared. The peace that passes understanding came to me, and I became so relaxed that I had to go home, because I was afraid I was going to fall asleep. That's how much peace I had. And then another time, someone else was really sick, and I was on retreat, and I went into the chapel, and I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament, and I heard some very encouraging, still, small voice words that lifted the burden off my heart, and it was just wonderful. So going through storms and traumas with Jesus makes a huge difference. Huge difference. And then another article here. I want to point out a few little things that it says in here. Jesus will allow us to go through storms. And in this scripture it says, immediately he made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Well, you know he knew a storm was going to brew up. They probably knew a storm was going to brew up, but they were a seasoned fisherman. They weren't worried about it, and he told them to do it, and they felt safe, so let's go, right? But Jesus will allow us to go through storms for a multitude of reasons. But remember that verse. All things work for the good to those who love God, okay? Because he can make good out of everything, even evil. And then Jesus is praying for us. What it says right after he told them to get in the boat and go over, he went up the mountain to pray. Well, you know he was praying for them and praying for all the people that had been there that day. So Jesus is praying for us. He is interceding for us. He is taking action for us in the storms, even though we may not see him or be aware of his presence. Going forward in obedience is always better than going back in disobedience. Because the wind was blowing against them, they could have easily turned around and went back to the shore, but then they would have deprived themselves of experiencing the intercession of Jesus to calm the storm and all of the things they learned from that. They didn't take the easy way. They kept rowing. And you see that in the Chosen episode. One of the disciples says, hey, let's turn around. We've been at this for hours. We're not making any headway. And Simon Peter says, no, he said to do this. We're going to keep on doing it. All right. So that obedience led to a miracle and many, many, many good lessons. And there's never a moment when the presence of God is far from us. Those scriptures I read to you before, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. And Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, always. So he is. And our focus has to stay on Jesus. The storms of life can make us look away, and then we start to sink. We start to fall into the abyss of sorrow and hopelessness and all the things that can come from these storms. I know I'm very well aware of those things. You know, I'm not making, this is the Lord speaking in Scripture. So our focus has to stay on him, all right? And we have to remember who Jesus is. These disciples in the boat, they'd been with him, they'd seen the miracles, they knew he was the Messiah, but they didn't realize that even though he raised somebody from the dead, that he was also the Lord over heaven and earth. He is God. He could make the storm stop. He could enable Simon Peter with his faith to walk on water, impossible things. So they found out and learned from that incredible experience that he is the Lord of sea and sky. He is the Lord of everything, not just us people, but of everything in the universe. And so we need to remember who he is, not just as Lord, but as our companion in life. And here's three more things, three more scriptures I want to share with you. One's from Psalm. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. His job is to heal your crushed spirit. And he will. He will. These are promises from him. And then Jesus said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then in the in Isaiah 40, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. These are promises. There are probably thousands of promises in Scripture of God's, from God to us. And, you know, we can all take that, we can all take that to heart, because these are promises from God, because that's who He is. That's who He is. And then never allow your storm to cause you to doubt God's goodness or lose faith in His power. Simon Peter had faith. He said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water, and I will." And he did. The Lord showed him, "I am. I am." So, it wasn't that Simon Peter was so full of faith that he believed everything and anything, but he had enough faith in Jesus, not in just something, but in Jesus, that he was able to walk on water. He cooperated with the grace that Jesus was offering him, and he was able to walk on water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus and walked with Jesus on the water. Okay, so I just want to encourage you to do that, because when we read these stories, they're there for our hearts to see. They are there to help heal us, there to help us know that He is with us. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Okay? So there's another article. Three simple ways to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You know, it's one thing to say, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, but what does that mean? Right? Obviously, it's to remain faithful, but this little article I thought was helpful for us. So, one of the others said that we have to prepare in advance for the storms. Because if we're prepared in advance, if we've taken the steps and done what we should do, the storms will not frighten us as much. They won't have as big a hold over us. They won't be as traumatic. It's prepare in advance. And that's one of the things that we have talked about in our Bible study many, many times. So, develop a consistent prayer life. Spend time with Jesus in prayer. St. Paul says, pray constantly. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. You know, pray without being weary. Prayer, prayer, prayer is key to our life with Jesus Christ. It helps us keep our focus on Jesus. So that's part of focusing on Jesus, keeping our eyes on Him. It also brings the power of God into all our situations. Anything that's bad going on in our lives will be less bad, will be better, good, if we pray. It's a promise from God. We might still be going through hell, but it's better than it would have been if we hadn't prayed. And vice versa, whatever we're going through that's good in our lives will be even better because we've prayed. It's because prayer releases grace from heaven. And God is desperately wanting us to pray for these things so He can release them into the world and into our lives, because He respects our free will. He will not force us to pray. He offers, we accept, the grace comes. Okay, so develop a consistent prayer life. Don't put your prayer life on the back burner. Make it important. Even if it's only 5 minutes a day, something. Give the Lord something and give Him the opportunity to talk with you. Surround yourself with like-minded believers. Christians need community. We see in the book of Acts that the church was intentional in their fellowship with each other. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were in union with each other, and they knew they had to be. And it wasn't just because they were being prosecuted. It is the way the Lord set it up. We have to have each other. We have to. It's not an option. We must be around other like-minded believers and come together with them. That's why church is so important. We need people to remind us who we are, to keep us on the right path, to encourage us when we need to be encouraged. Okay? 3, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you daily. As a result of being baptized Christians, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives when we are washed clean by baptism and say yes to the Lord. If we were babies, our parents said yes to the Lord. So basically, develop your prayer life. Surround yourself with like-minded believers. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you daily. And if you are a Catholic Christian, take advantage of the sacraments, especially confession, which brings a great deal of grace and power into your life, and the Holy Eucharist, where you are united truly with Jesus Christ in every way possible, united with Him in a special way. So I wanted to share with you a couple of other verses before I have to go, and I have to go pretty quickly. In Isaiah 41, it says, "Do not be anxious. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious hand." He is victor over everything. And then in St. Peter, it says, "Cast all your worries upon him because he cares for you." And then in Isaiah 41 again, he says, "For I am the Lord your God, who grasp hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear, I will help you." I'm sorry, I have to go now. I hope this has been helpful to you. Until we are together again next week, please, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. May God have all the glory, and pray for the station and everyone involved in it. God bless you all.